But it I'm amazed that it works instantly now for some reason.
Really? Really?
For the past like two or three times, as soon as I press the button, it's go time.
This is how you officially start a podcast, Jamie, with random banter.
Random banter, random banter, random banter. Okay, welcome to the Fucking Do It podcast, hosted on the Hard Knock Media Podcasting Network.
Tell them, Jamie Noguchi, with amazing. A little bit of fever, it's with amazing. A little bit of fever.
It's amazing. You need to visit hardknockmedia.com. That's N-O-C, nerdsofcolor.com. There you will see our fellow podcasts. Most of them they talk about harder hitting issues than we do here at the Fucking Do It podcast.
yeah. You know what? That's probably for the best though. Cause, frankly, there are certain opinions on that I just shouldn't be chiming in on. So really you should only come to me for like dick and fart jokes is really what we're looking at.
Yes, we will not.
Don't ask my opinion about real things. Yeah, like I'll have capital O opinions, but yes, not so much.
We will not be talking about Saturday Night Live this week.
I haven't even had a chance to unpack that. Like I saw there was a thing and it was like, you know what? That's another time. Like it's just another time.
All right, Brandon. So this past weekend was an away mission. I was at Small Press Expo. You actually stopped by on Saturday to hang out. So it's rare that we go to a show from different perspectives. Usually both of us are either behind the table or both of us are visiting a show to just hang out. Yes. So how was SPX as a visitor, as an attendee?
As an attendee, it is exactly the same as it is every other time. And like usually I come at this show with a bit of venom, and there's still a bit of it there, but I will say the following things. I absolutely adore seeing all of the creators out there, whether I've known you previously or I see you out there just hustling. Like there was somebody who, you know, I was looking at some wares of, and right next to them was a kid who straight did staple comics. And I don't know how the kid got in because he was maybe 13.
What is a staple comic? Like a zine?
Like literally like a zine. Like oh, okay. He just hand stapled those bad boys together. And, nice. I respect the hustle. Yeah, like
that's where we all start.
Genuinely like, yeah. I don't know. It brought up an interesting crossroads of, offering free comics at your table felt very begging. Like, aww. Yeah, I know. Aww. And yeah, I know. So yeah, anyway, it's a good show. Yeah. It's a very cool room full of creators that is very supportive, and it seems like everybody's there to kind of pick up things, and you get this very real mix of like people going, yeah, this is a great con, I'm having a great time, and like the next booth over, somebody going, yeah, it's okay. And it's like, why? And I can't figure out for the life of me like what clicks with people and what doesn't. And I understand that there's a lot of that room that I may be wearing the uniform of the traditional hipster dude, like I am very much not that guy in a lot of ways. A lot of ways I very much am. But
yeah.
I can't really figure that room out for the life of me. Mm-hmm. I genuinely stand by the statement, for the love of everything holy, can you put that in a larger room? Just please, I beg of you. Like another 3 feet in between the aisles just so that I'm literally not feeling like I'm being like squeezed in by other nerds. Like, well, because here's the thing, like, I have to believe at a certain point, people pass by a booth that they're like, that looks rad, but it's a mob scene. And then you start to feel awkward and guilty about standing there holding up traffic. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, I'll swing back around. And you could literally walk up and down every aisle of SPX maybe a half dozen times and still miss a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
Just walking by, like, unless you literally stop from booth to booth, eyeballing absolutely everything, writing down the booth number, there's no way you're going to remember all the cool stuff that you want to double back and take a look at again or what. Like,
yeah,
just, it doesn't happen. I genuinely think that they are doing the artists there who are tabling a disservice by having the aisles be that cramped. I think there has to be some sort of middle ground between like creating a bit of a like hustle bustle shopping environment of having a lot of like having limited space there and just a fucking like just a hair of breathing room.
Mm-hmm. You will not like San Diego, my friend.
Yeah, I know. That's one of the many reasons. When I did Anime Expo, it was like that.
I think Expo was a little crazier. Expo was crazier because it was just their traffic flow is awful. San Diego is a little bit better in that regard. You don't necessarily feel like you're always that you're being crushed by the crowd, and there are like through ways that you can kind of sneak in.
That feels better, but like with the way that SPX is laid out in this very clear, like rectangular grid style system, it made absolute sense. It made navigating everything very easy. It made the layout and the map very simple to follow and understand. I appreciate that. I appreciate the balloon system that they have. It's a very classic way to do things. Like, they solve a lot of things the right way.
Mm-hmm.
But fuck, is that just an overwhelming situation? Like, even I, and I don't really suffer from any sort of like claustrophobia in it. Like, I had to take a breather a couple times, just like, Jesus Christ, can I just take a second and just get out of the sea of humanity and like stretch my shoulders out a little bit? Cause it's nuts.
Yeah, it's a good show for people who vend because it's sort of like a constant flow. Like, there'll be ebbs, like, it, you know, there'll be busy times and less busy times. But in general, people will be cycling through on a regular basis. But like, if you're an attendee, I could see how it would be like you would have to hop in one door and do that aisle and then hop back out and like, you know, shake it off and then like, you know, take a breather.
Get a chicken. And like, then. You were on an end and that main drag in the center is much wider. But like if you're on one of those inside aisles.
Oh, boy.
And. Right. That's what I'm saying is like you've got two people in front of your booth. Right. And they both have backpacks on because, of course, they do.
Yeah.
Because it's a convention and they all want to buy things. Like I have no heat on this. I wore backpack myself. OK, so then you're creating basically a person and a half's worth of space. Then you've got people trying to pass by in both directions. Then you've got on the other side of the aisle another set of people. If you wanted to have someone stop in between the two people with backpacks.
I was wondering what that buzzing sound is, and it's Audrey brushing her fucking teeth.
Okay, anyway. Whatever. For those audiophiles picking that up, congratulations. It's not a cicada in Jamie's house. But, like, if you – let's say, like, you pass by and you stop and you want to see something just at a glance.
Yeah.
You immediately hold up traffic in both directions.
Yeah.
Because the second you stop, somebody wants to try and go around you. They're impeding traffic the other way. Like, it's a two-lane road with just ditches on either side. And the second somebody wants to stop and have a conversation with their neighbor, you're just blocking traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything sits there. So then you start to feel guilty and you're like, well, shit, hang on. Let me pull my car over. You can only pull your car over in so much before you're in the ditch.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, I'm not going to do it completely. So then I'm like half turning sideways with my backpack and then I'm like half moving up and then I got an arm in the air and then I look like I'm like posing for something because then like I'm up like this and I got the backpack off to the side and I'm twisted like this and I'm trying to like check out somebody's wares. So I'm over here doing like one of these things going on. Like looking like fucking Steven Tyler on stage and then all of a sudden they're like, what's going on? Right. And I'm like, look, I'm just trying to look at your fucking stickers. I'm not trying to sing Love in an Elevator, but here we are just fucking just jamming it out. So yeah, like it's just a little too tight.
Yeah. And I don't know if there's a, aside from like knocking out an island, like taking out an island or taking out a half island and then and redistributing things that way, I don't know that there's another venue in that area that could handle the con. Like the Marriott Convention Center in Bethesda, in the Rockville Bethesda area, that is the place. Like there's no other bigger venue. Like to go bigger, you have to go a little bit outside of the Bethesda area. Like a place like the Gaylord, it may be too big for SPX, and like the DC Convention Center, maybe you could fit in one of the halls, but like for whatever reason, they want to stay in Bethesda.
Fine. Then maybe that is the answer, Jamie. Maybe it needs to become a slightly more elite show.
Yeah.
And either you press the aisles out toward the end and you take the alcove areas that are there and bring them in a little bit and be able to space the tables out a little, or maybe you just lose a row.
Yeah.
Just a complete row, and you make it more of an elite thing, and you charge an extra, you know, whatever it would be, $15 a table or something like that for each vendor. Uh-huh. And you just call that the cost of doing business, and you just create a bit more egress. But like, I was looking at the capacity numbers for that room, and it's something like 286, and there's no way that you're not so far over that. Like,
yeah,
just the vendors alone have to be close to 60 people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then you're well over that. So you're near, let's say, reasonably, let's say fairly 60 people. You're trying to tell me that there wasn't over 300 people in that room? Get out of here.
Yeah.
Like, no possible.
Yeah, there definitely is. And yeah, I don't know. I think if you upgrade to one of the other convention centers in the area, because we are lousy in the DC area with convention centers, I think the rates go way up.
I've said this before. I'll say it again. Like, I wish they would move. I understand the idea that maybe they don't want to move because of a sweetheart deal they have with the hotel. And in all fairness to the hotel revamped a lot of their lobby areas and stuff like that. It's a very nice hotel now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It is very inviting. It is very easy. It is simple for a lot of people to get to because of the metro stop. Like, I have no real fight there with the hotel, but can we take a second and just reorganize that room to make it a little more comfortable for people who are shopping?
Yeah. I think the ideal situation is if they – because they redid the front half of the hotel. If they start renovating the back half and like extend that wall back a little bit and push that parking lot out just like a scotch or something, like if they built it, if they expanded the room somehow, but maintained the number of tables in there, I think that would be a good idea.
Six and one half dozen the other, Jamie. All I know is it's a little too tight in there for me to, like, I am convinced that there were things that I would have purchased, but eventually I got so tired of fighting through the wall of humanity.
Oh, no.
I quit.
Oh no.
I gave up. And that's something I wish that somebody from SPX would hear me say.
Yeah.
I, an adult with disposable income in that room, who took out a budget of cash. Like, I took out $200 in cash.
Wow.
To spend there. Mm-hmm. I was prepared to spend money, did not spend even half of that amount.
Oh, man.
Because I got so fed up with the layout of that room, I was not comfortable participating in a lot of transactions.
Yeah, that's tough. Did you get anything cool?
Genuinely, I bought two friends, two things, and I got myself a print, and that's it.
Oh, man.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, reasonably. I would have liked to. I budgeted. I spent the month. I spent the time to go get cash out. I was ready for it, and even then, I just couldn't bring myself to do it because I just got so fed up with the layout of that room. It was like, fuck this. I'm done with this.
Yeah, it's a little much. Come on, Tricky. Yeah.
So in turn, a lot of that budget went to our fine friends at Pike Kitchen for dinner and at the Miller Ale House for drinks afterwards. So
how was that?
Thanks,
place?
Rockville. So there was that. So supporting small business in Rockville, but as far as supporting more artists in SPX, I genuinely wish I would have spent a little more time in there.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. I think what it's also a byproduct of is I've become part of that generation that just enjoys shopping online. So the idea of like fighting through that line, yeah, it ain't there anymore, man. Like, I'll support small business and everything, but if you make it fucking intentionally hard for me to deal with and it's not a need item, I'll just pass. Like, I'm good.
Yeah. How is the ale house or the Miller ale house? Miller ale house?
They pour a shit mixed drink, but the booze is cheap, so there's that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. We only went for beverages, and it is in every sense of the word. If you go there, and you're like, boy, these cocktails are cheap. Boy, howdy, is there a reason?
Yeah, I don't know enough about the nightlife to point you guys in a proper direction of like a decent bar, but
it was totally fine. No, there was nothing wrong per se with the bar. That was just the place is designed very much like if an Outback Steakhouse and TGI Fridays had a love child. That's essentially what this place was. Like a lot of wood paneling, a lot of flair the walls. So yeah, just. And I knew what I was getting into. But what was the show like for you from a tabling aspect? Was it as good as years past? Was it better? Like,
well, I had a strange weekend. So you, me, and Phil were launching a new brand, Draw Right Now. And so we had half of my table portioned off for the Draw Right Now stuff. And it was only the sketchbook set. I have one here. Branding.
Hey.
We had this set, and we had our Right Not Fight shirt, our San Diego exclusive. It's not exclusive anymore. We have a whole bunch of them. Come see me at this show this weekend. But like, so that part of the table was actually doing really well. Like, we sold a shit ton of these sets. Like, I need to tally up the budget, and because we distribute the money amongst ourselves, so we made
not. Nonsense. There's no money to be made, Uncle Sam, and there's none at all. And we are
but Draw Right Now did very well. I think
cool.
I think these are a hit. I think when we get rid of the red ones, I think we should think about doing different colorways or different versions and stuff like that.
I'm down with that.
But like I think the $15 price point was good. I think if we could do it for 12,
yeah,
these would be gone. Like we would have none left. I don't know what that means on the back end for the financing, but like 15 was kind of
it's a breaking point.
It seemed like a breaking point. Like, I think at 12 instant, 20 is definitely too much, but I think 15 is sort of like the.
That's a conversation to revisit and start to figure out. And I actually kind of weirdly like the idea of us kind of breaking into a little bit of that. If anyone's actually genuinely interested in a discussion about like table logistics and profit margins and what have you, do me a favor and just hit us up on social media or shoot us an email, and maybe we'll get more into the details on that. We can do like a special episode where like we can break down and we can talk about table experiences, and maybe we can even do like a side thing of we bring in other people who we know who have tabled.
Yeah.
Because I know it's a big fear with a lot of artist friends that we have where they're like, yeah, I don't know if I want to put the investment into tabling. And I wonder if we take a bit of the question marks out of that and let them be able to just kind of go, okay, so reasonably, if a table costs this much, what seems reasonable? Is this too much for this? Like, we don't necessarily have to put out the names of shows, but we can say, okay, a large anime show in the DC, Maryland, Virginia area costs X number of dollars for a table. Here's where I've gotten these things. Like, just kind of break down some of the things and, I don't know, take some of the scariness out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's very few guidance. There's very little guidance in tabling. And a lot of it is like trial and error, trial and error, trial and error. What works for someone isn't going to necessarily work for you. Like,
that's true. But I think just giving a genuine venue for people to ask these questions and or to just kind of I don't know, feel more comfortable being able to broach the topic in the first place always seems like the thing.
I just had an idea. We should have like a tabling boot camp and like invite some of our friends who do it and then like have a table and then have them set it up and then like, you know, go through like why they do it this way, what works for them and that, and then like rotate to the next person and then like rotate to the next person. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Makes sense to me. Yeah, that would be kind of cool. But yeah, anyway, I don't want to get too inside baseball here, but okay, so awesome to hear the draw right now stuff went well. How did your personal stuff go?
Personal stuff was a little less, mostly because I don't have anything new because I am currently working on something new that is going to be out next year and we will have it everywhere. So like my table will be lousy with new shit. So even with that, I did okay-ish with my other stuff. But our buddy Phil was down hanging out with me and stuff like that. So I did try standing the entire time.
Oh, God.
I got one of those portable stool things that like a T, that's basically a T square, like a T with a pole and you sit on it and stuff.
Gotcha. Yeah, like a Unipod sort of thing or like whatever it is. Like a Unipod.
I think I needed some sort of cushion on it because I could sit there for like a good 30 minutes before like the hard plastic just made my ass feel like it was falling out.
I think that's the idea, is it's supposed to force you to get the hell up.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, no friend. I bought you to make this easier for me. You piece of shit. but you know, I got to try it out. It might be something I take with me to San Diego next year with like an extra cushion or something. And maybe like cut up one of those fatigue mats and just hide that in one of the boxes that we send over with Phil.
Gotcha.
Because those are I have one and I've used it before, but even with the fatigue mat, my feet still get fucked up. So I think between the fatigue mat and the butt stand,
somehow you'll manage to
maybe
make
I'll
it.
Maybe I can fucking do this.
Probably not, but no. You'll yeah.
I always love talking to people at the show. You know, the people who come by and are curious about my stuff and curious about like, you know, what we're doing. We had a lot of good conversations about Draw Right Now and, you know, the notebooks, these are an easy sell. You know, you just tell people like, you know, it's an easy pocket thing. You know, it's not fussy like a sketchbook. You can shit out ideas, you know, it's no big fussy thing where it's like, if you see your favorite artist on Instagram showing off their latest sketchbook and it's not a sketch, it's like this fucking oil painting or like,
all
this bullshit.
I have a special moleskin that I strictly do watercolor in and I make sure that just, Jesus,
this
fuck,
took me
like
an hour on the train.
No. One, no, it didn't. You're not painting on a fucking train. Two, no, just plain no. And three, you and I both know it took you 4 to 5 hours and you took your dear sweet time for the gram. Realistically, I think we were all three of us really hoping to do with those sketchbooks is just it's a diarrhea, a dump of ideas. Like just, okay, I need a place to throw all these things into. It isn't just a notepad app where you just explain it. It's got to be a place where you can just scratch ideas and then throw the thing in your bag or in your back pocket, whatever it is, and just know that you've got it available to you and make the price point low enough that you got a couple of them. And you know, if you happen to forget about one in your bag and you find it 3 months later, you're like, shit, I forgot about this thing. Yeah. And you open it back up and you're immediately like, I remember this. This is a great idea. Like, that's the idea.
Just
something to be there all the time as a reminder to do the thing.
Yeah. So one thing I didn't stress is that like you get the wristband with it. That's why it's 15. And I consistently forgot to mention that. Like, it's not just a rubber band, it's a wristband.
I understand that. But at the same time, I could also see a lot of people not wanting to necessarily wear those. So I could see that being more of an added value thing. But I think genuinely, the $15 for the three books is a pretty fair price compared to some of the Field Notes books.
Yeah.
And as somebody who used to be an avid user of the Field Notes books on the regular and have switched to the Draw Right Now books, they're compatible in capability and durability. So I
like the quality of these. I like the company that we got them printed out of.
Yes.
You know, so we'll, I don't know. I keep cycling back to that. But yeah, most of my time is spent talking with people and talking about comics and seeing what's going on. And then like, I barely got a chance to walk around and see anything. But I always come out of that show wanting to draw more comics, which is great because I'm drawing more comics right now. there have been times in the past when I've been really down about my work and felt like quitting and doing something else. Like, you know, half the motivation for picking up photography was like, well, this art shit isn't working out so well. Maybe I can, you know, do something with this photography stuff. And then all of a sudden, like, book deal and you know, we're off to the races and shit like that. But like, Small right. Press Expo has always been a nice refresher for me, like a nice breath of fresh air, like hanging out with people that I haven't seen all year because they're, you know, halfway across the world or like in different states, and they all converge at SPX after hours and hang out and shoot the shit and talk about comics and stuff like that. So
right,
it's become more of like a reunion than a show just to make money, which is nice. The best thing that happened the entire weekend. So at some point Danielle was tabling, like in the island next to me, and the person next to her moved to a different table. So there was a free table. It was just an open table.
Yes.
And I looked over, I was like, Daniel, what the fuck? And she's like, oh no, I'm just going to, you know, take a nap around here or something.
Yeah.
So my friend Charlie, I don't know if you've ever met Charlie, but he brought his two daughters, Nola Mae and Matilda.
Okay.
To SPX on Sunday to hang out with Hazel and Audrey. So they walked around the show. They were getting a little antsy and they started drawing, sitting down behind my table and drawing. And I was like, girls, there's a free fucking table over there. Y'all should sit over there and just set up. So Hazel, Matilda, and Nola Mae went over there, sat down, and took out all their drawing stuff. Nola Mae is a fucking genius. She wrote down her name, like Nola Mae, and then she put like commissions, head sketches for $1. If you don't like my drawing, I'm sorry. And she put that on her sign and put it up there. Nola Mae. First time tabling at Small Press Expo in the final like 4 hours of the show made $6. Amazing. Actually, I'm lying. She made $9.
Well, shit.
She made $9 added to the $6 that she had already had for her allowance. She actually went around and bought a thing that she had wanted for $15 with the money that she had made.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Matilda made a couple bucks too because she started cutting out her drawings because they were little tiny things. And so she started cutting them out and selling them for like 25 cents. And so the person next to them gave her a pair of scissors so that instead of ripping them, she could cut them out.
Cut them out, right.
Hazel, girl after my own heart, was just giving drawings away.
we need to have a conversation with your kid, Jeremy.
Because that's what I would do.
Right, yeah, because I'll just, nobody wants to buy my art, so I'll just give it away. It's fine.
God damn it. Yeah, and then she realized the other two were making money. She was like, well, fuck. So she started selling stuff for $1. She made $4.
Yes!
At one point, some random dude came by and said, hey, you girls need some colors? And dumped a whole bunch of Sharpies on them. Like different nice. Color Sharpies.
That so is like super cool.
Yeah, like in the last 4 hours they were just drawing away, getting commissions.
Nice.
It was so good. So if I'm able to get a table next year, I figure Saturday I'll sell all my stuff and we'll do the draw right now stuff, and then like perhaps Sunday, depending on how things go, we'll have three young artists selling their wares.
Yeah, just start sliding the stuff over and just let them take half a table and set right up.
Yeah, it was so cool. Like,
That's so good.
I talked to Charlie. I was like, how does it feel to be the proud father of two professional artists? And he was like, I am so proud right now.
That's awesome.
Because when you get paid, you're a pro.
That is absolutely true.
Yeah. So yeah, a good time was had by all.
Awesome.
A good time was had by all.
So, Jamie Noguchi,
yes.
What are we getting into this week?
I thought we would talk about streaming.
Okay.
And I guess it's more of a question from me to you, because like there's all these shows coming out on various streaming services and like you know, various paid versions of everything else like that. And like you go to work, you have coworkers. Ostensibly, there might be a time when you interact with these coworkers and talk about like shows and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I do not have my coworkers' Twitter or whatever, or like my email.
Oh, and, God.
And,
yeah.
And,
no.
And it's all about work. We don't talk about anything but work. Like, emails come in, they tell me what to do, and I do the thing, and I tell them, hey, I did the thing.
Right.
So the notion of like the water cooler chat is not a thing for me.
Okay.
But I was wondering if this was a thing for you, and if you felt any social pressure to sort of be plugged into what is streaming, because you know there are too many shows, Brandon Chalmers.
Well, yeah, of course there's too many shows.
There are too many shows, and like unless you are a professional watcher of bullshit,
yeah.
Like you cannot possibly watch everything.
No. Okay. So what exactly is the question here?
So I'm confused about that. So with all of the stuff, do you feel overwhelmed with stuff to watch? Are there things that you feel pressured into watching because like all of your friends or all of your coworkers are talking about this one thing? And do you ever feel left out that you don't know the thing that they're like? I mean, I know you probably don't give a shit, but like, are there times when you're hanging out with somebody and like, oh, did you see this thing? It's on such and such. It's from here and here and that and that.
Probably the best, most recent example I can have for something like that is, weirdly enough, Steven Universe.
Oh, okay.
So I have quite a few very close friends who absolutely adore the new Steven Universe movie.
Yeah.
They have pressured me to watch it. I have heard a lot of things. I have heard the song. Like, I have went out, downloaded the Cartoon Network app, and went and actually watched the thing so that I could have a better understanding of it. I've seen a couple episodes. I have not watched all of the show.
Uh-huh.
I recognize most of the characters. It's a good show. I can absolutely enjoy it. I can absolutely understand where their head is with it. That's about the only one recently.
Uh-huh.
Because of the way that my experience with TV works with most of the people that I work with or most people I interact with, they're like, you should totally watch this. It's super good. And I'm like, yeah. Okay, sure, no problem.
Yeah.
And then the real problem runs down to, I could watch this thing. Could. I could go download the thing. Like, yeah. If it's on Netflix or Amazon Prime, there's a much higher percentage chance that I'll actually watch it.
Sure.
But at the same time, like, especially if it involves like a different app or a different service, it's a hard no for me. Like, just the hardest of no's. Like, unless I have a genuine vested interest on my own to do this,
yeah.
I will not sign up for 30 days free and something yeah. like, there's a free trial. I don't care. I just, no.
Yeah.
I don't need to do this again unless there is just such a huge buzz. But genuinely, like, a lot of those things, it's kind of hit my wheelhouse already.
Uh-huh.
So it's rare if I'll go out and do it. The other problem is like, even things that interest me, I rarely go even out to like the movies or anything.
Yeah.
Like, I'm such a bad nerd in that sense.
Yeah.
That like, I have used TV, for lack of a better way to put it, as almost an escape from my day to day stuff. That I start to look for things that are almost comfort food.
Yeah. Like, so like the older shows or the older movies that you're familiar with, or like random shit.
Yeah, like there are things that I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm gonna watch this. Like the second the new Avengers came out, I hadn't seen it in the theater. I went down with it. I watched it to this way I could be like, yes, I saw the thing.
Yeah.
Same thing with like the new John Wick.
Yeah.
I've been using a lot of the newer stuff to then go back and watch the older stuff. So like, there's a new Bad Boys movie coming out. Well, I went online and I went and bought Bad Boys 1 and 2 on Apple TV because I wanted to start watching them. And I'm like, well, cool. There might be somebody else who wants to see this thing. I should have it so this way I could be like, we need to watch the thing so that you can watch it with me. I like that premise, but as far as like going out, like best example, the new Picard show.
Ugh.
Right. You say this. I have a coworker who's a Trekkie, who's a secret Trekkie, and I wasn't aware they were a Trekkie. And they didn't expose themselves until they were like – they felt like they were in a safe space with my nerdy ass. And they were like, so.
So that Picard show. You gotta watch
the Picard show? Right. And I'm like – what are you talking about? And they gave me this look like, son of a bitch, you lured me in and then you switched it on me. I don't know. Like, and I gave him kind of a wink and a nod like, yeah, I know what the fuck we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, I genuinely don't know what service it's on. If it's CBS On Demand or whatever the fuck
CBS
it is
that bullshit.
I have to pay for it, no.
Yeah, it's that CBS crap.
Yeah, I won't do it. Like, and in the interest of transparency, The streaming services that I belong to right now, so that you understand where my viewing preferences are Netflix,
yeah,
Amazon,
yeah,
YouTube,
yeah,
and then not paid YouTube, just regular YouTube watch on the regular. And on Amazon, I also pay for the Motor Trend On Demand service.
Oh, cool.
So I pay an additional $5 a month for strictly automotive-related content. And that also includes now they have a deal with the BBC. So now all of the old Top Gear seasons are streamed from there. Right. So like a lot of the other stuff that involves the guys like James May and Richard Hammond of like all of their documentary stuff and everything, all of that stuff is on there now. They also have a deal with Discovery, so all of the automotive related shows that were on Discovery,
yeah,
your American Toppers and things like that,
yeah.
All of their back catalogs are now available for that.
Are they still making American Chopper? I feel like there's a new
season. I think they're making a new – I think they're doing a new season or something like that. I don't really care. I didn't necessarily really like it that much before. But the idea is if you were – into the automotive reality shows in the mid-2000s that got very popular very fast, this is a place for you to watch them along with some of the other Motor Trend on-demand original programming that I enjoyed from YouTube.
Yeah.
Because it seems to be kind of the way that I end up doing this sort of thing is I see something that I like a show called Roadkill that was on YouTube for a while. Then they got a deal with Velocity, which is a network through Discovery. And in turn, they pulled off all of their content off of YouTube, went strictly to Velocity. And they said, hey, look, here's what's going to happen. We're going to launch an on-demand service for $5 a month. The following shows will be available. We're going to put them out on a regular schedule all year round. There's no off-season here. And then, you know, so it's like once a week for like in the month, there's like five new shows. They've got a schedule for when they're coming out, and they always hit their post every time.
That's so
cool.
I get
new content every week constantly along with their back catalog.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, you know what? It's a very transparent way to do a streaming service. I know exactly what I'm paying for, and if I break it down and I say, okay, I'm paying less than $1 a show for these shows that I like along with all the back catalog for free content.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm being ripped off.
Yeah, and you're supporting them to make more shit. So that's awesome.
And that's right, and that's the idea. So like I very much like the transparency of that. I also very much like that for one subscription-based service that I buy through Amazon, I can watch it on all devices using the Amazon TV app.
Yeah.
Or I can go straight to Motor Trend On Demand's website and be able to watch it there.
Nice.
So I have the ability to watch it on my phone, watch it on my work computer if I have some off time on a lunch break, at home, on my Apple TV, on my Roku, like wherever.
Right.
I like that maneuverability.
That's really cool. Like being able to buy the one thing that you want instead of having all of the shit that you don't want.
Yeah. So like
– yeah.
And in turn, there's been other shows like that where I watch the Hoonigan Network on – YouTube, and then they ended up getting a TV show on Amazon Prime talking about the recording of their like viral YouTube video series that they put together, their Gymkhana videos. It got nominated for a fucking Emmy. Like, so I think it's one of those like one thing kind of rolls into the other. I'll gladly pick up and pay for the new Disney service that'll come out. If only just for curiosity's sake, I don't think I'm going to buy it like 3 years in advance for all that stuff. I'm not 100% sold on that.
Yeah.
Just because the initial investment's kind of high.
Well, I think, isn't it like $7 a month? Or if you do the 3 year, it's like $3 a month or some crazy bullshit like that.
Right. Yeah. I think it's just one of those like, I just don't know if I want to spend the cash up front for that.
Yeah. As someone who has a daughter.
As someone who's a nerd, yeah. I debate it.
Yeah.
Like genuinely, I debate it because it's like, okay, well, you know what? Genuinely, over that number of years, it really is a good investment
for
myself because I know I'm going to watch this stuff.
Yeah,
I think I have like almost a gun shy sort of mentality because Disney's the same one who's pulled this. We're going to put it back in the vault bullshit.
Right.
And like, I'm half concerned that I'm going to pull the trigger on this and not week one, not month one, month seven. Things will just start disappearing without any conversation.
I have two words that may help you pull the trigger on the Disney thing.
Yeah.
Gina Carano.
What about?
She's in The Mandalorian.
Okay. Yeah.
Carrying
I'll give
a
you that.
Big gun.
And this is the thing, Jamie. It's genuinely a debate of just am I going month to month or am I buying the big package?
I see.
It's not a question whether or not I'm going to get the Disney thing.
Yeah.
I think my concern is I'll watch The Mandalorian. After that, what's going to drag me in? Like,
yeah,
if I was
true.
For
that's
an
true.
HBO Go subscription, right? And Game of Thrones ends, the fuck am I paying for? Last week tonight, I can watch the episode on YouTube the next day.
Sure, Westworld and the Wire back catalog.
Wire back catalog is available on Amazon Prime for free.
Oh shit! Then Westworld.
Okay.
And the show with The Rock in it, I don't know. And the documentaries.
Okay.
The hip hop documentary with Dr. Dre, that one was awesome.
Okay, that's fair. Now let me ask you a question. Is it worth $15 a month?
I don't know. Probably not.
Are you paying for it?
No.
Then no.
Audrey's mom is.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, reasonably, though.
Yeah.
You're not paying $15 a month for that.
No, because most of my quote-unquote TV watching is just playing YouTube in the background while I'm cranking out pages and stuff. So I'm not
right.
even, I'm not even right. watching real TV. I'm watching, like, dumb tutorials on stuff or, like, really, really esoteric political ranting and commentary.
Just. Yeah, like I think that's the thing for me is I am very it's very difficult to sway me on what's going on. And I think that's part of the problem
sure.
with a lot of content that people are getting into now is
yeah.
You almost feel like unless you find it yourself. It ain't going to drag you in. Now, there are exceptions to that rule. Like if some friend's like, hey, you should totally sit down and watch this and the both of you enjoy it together. I found that's an easy way to start getting into something like that.
Yeah. Or like having watch parties and like making it a thing. Like when we do Rumble and when we do WrestleMania, that's always a thing because we get together. We eat a bunch of shitty food. We spend 8 hours in the same room. Bitching about Vince, but it's an event. It's a thing.
But that's the thing is I don't have the WWE Network anymore. I haven't watched any of it. I don't have Hulu anymore. I haven't watched wrestling in 4.5 months.
Wow.
So I genuinely don't know what's going on there other than what I pick up randomly on Instagram.
Yeah.
So I've even stopped watching some of the review shows on YouTube that I used to watch from like What Culture Wrestling and everything. Like I don't even watch any of that anymore. So I'll probably pick up the network for like you said, like Rumble and maybe Mania. But
yeah,
WWE can't even draw me in with their existing content, and I am an old school fan.
And you're the target. You're the target market.
I'm the target demo, right? So like,
it feels like it's hitting the saturation point. Like, I think Disney is going to do well, but I think it's already hit the saturation point. Like,
I think it's only because it's Disney. Like, I think reasonably, the Motor Train on Demand guys, I think, got it right.
Yeah.
This idea of it's an add-on service to something I already use.
Yeah.
If it's something that I can pay for and I can watch on Amazon or I can watch on YouTube or something, like, I don't need another fucking app.
Yeah.
If I don't need to learn your interface or to find out that you skimped on the designer, the developer of your web-based streaming browser, whatever the fuck it is. The play button doesn't necessarily work right. For some reason, the audio quality is real wonky for whatever. Like,
yeah.
I don't trust CBS to spend the time on their streaming player the same way I trust the crew over at Netflix.
Yeah. If Toei had a channel on Amazon Prime that had subtitles for Kamen Rider, instant purchase, lifetime purchase from me. Like, I would just, that would be my TV. I would be learning Japanese so I could draw and listen to it without having to read the subtitles. Like,
right. Like,
instant buy for me.
And I know that sounds kind of counterproductive because I know I'm feeding the big Amazon beast at that point, but like, I don't know if smaller networks have the ability, like WWE, I think, is the one that I use as the baseline because when you try and use their app, it's clunky as fuck.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they're a billion-dollar company, and all they do is put out media entertainment.
Yeah. It should be better. We shouldn't have dropped Signal in the middle of their biggest fucking event of the year. Like, when we're watching Mania, it should never drop. It should never drop. Never.
Right. But that's kind of where my head is it's like these things, they're clunky as fuck. And like to the credit of somebody like an NFL, they don't want to deal with creating their own like streaming service and everything. Just fuck it. Let somebody else deal with that shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's something to be said about that. I don't know if some of these smaller setup companies are up to the task. And I know some of them are doing things like using things like Twitch, but like this randomly popped up. So there's a couple different versions of wrestling. One of the major, I use in quotations, companies is called Impact Wrestling. They apparently do a simulcast on their cable network as well, or sorry, on a cable network. I think it's Access or something like that.
Is that what TNA became? They became Impact?
Yeah. Okay. So they broadcast and supposedly, and I'm taking these numbers, I'm paraphrasing, by the way, from Super Art Fight co-host with the Mo-host Marty Day and his co-host Christoph from the Roughhouse podcast. I was listening today. They were talking about this. So nice. Please forgive me if I get any of these numbers slightly wrong. I apologize. The guys told me that apparently the network, the cable network, is quote unquote available in 54 million homes, I believe. But all that means is that potentially you could pay for the service to watch this thing.
Sure.
So it doesn't actually create or equate to real numbers, and there's no fucking chance that 54 million people are watching the same wrestling program. It's not gonna fucking happen.
Yeah.
So we know this.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they also simulcast on Twitch for free. And for free during a streaming service that is easily accessible on a major access network, on a major platform that is knowledgeable by the core demographic of their 18 to, at this point now, let's be realistic, 45-year-old thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's their core demo.
They only had, I think they said, 3,400 people watching. 3,400 people.
On Twitch?
On Twitch.
Oh my God.
There were more people watching people play Fortnite.
Dude.
Than were watching Impact Wrestling.
Destiny Raid Impact Day.
Impact Wrestling has.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like Raid Day and Destiny, like October 1st is going to be in the millions for some of those streamers.
Right. And that's crazy to me, one, for its own thing of just I don't understand that whole world. But the idea that something like that, I could potentially not have to pay for cable, go out, watch it for free, and even then, I have no interest.
Oh, man. Maybe you just don't like wrestling anymore, right, Brandon? We got dead air. What happened?
There we go.
Okay.
We're back.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe you just don't like wrestling anymore, Brandon.
Maybe that's it. I don't know. Like, anyway, but I think that's more to my point, though, is like, I think you're right. We have hit a saturation point. For me, yeah, wrestling, I definitely hit a saturation point. But I think a lot of people have hit this sort of thing where, like,
yeah,
there's so many options. And there are some things that will absolutely rise up from the ooze that is deep cable.
Yeah.
But I'm really happy that streaming service is there. I'm glad that I do not have to pay Comcast or Verizon or anyone else for regular traditional cable TV that I have to watch on time.
For
I'm
sure.
I'm really happy
for sure
that I can just watch things when I want to watch things, and it can be, you know, 8:43 in the PM and I can start a show brand new and watch as many episodes as are available to me to watch in a row without commercials.
Yeah.
I'm glad. I'm happy to pay for what that is. More of that. Just if you're going to do it,
yeah,
fucking put the investment in. Otherwise, I'm going to add it to the list of reasons why I shouldn't renew this thing.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to find another way to watch it.
Yeah. I like the idea of like the buy, like the a la carte system where you just buy the show that you want to watch.
I'm down with that, but
I
then
like that idea.
I ask the question of what's the price point that seems fair?
Yeah, that's true.
Because once I'm paying, what is it now, $11 or $12 for Netflix streaming service at this point, there's a lot of content on there. And if you divide that based on even how many shows I've watched in the last 6 months, I can almost guarantee you I'm paying way less than $1 a show. So I got to really want to watch what you're trying to sell me.
Yeah.
Picard ain't doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to really solve there. I know what I like so far is the interface of the Motor Trend On Demand and being able to pick up and add an incentive. It's cable plus.
Yeah.
Is really what I'm looking for.
Yeah, like, it's a cable some DLC. Sort of,
yeah, it's a cable DLC. Yeah, like yeah,
it's a loot crate.
It's a loot crate. Yeah, like well, you know what the best probably example of this would be is the Hulu to Hulu Live. The problem is that the price break in between the two is something like $45.
Yeah.
And there's got to be some sort of like a la carte sort of system where it's like, hey, Hulu offers the following channels straight up along with their streaming service.
Yeah.
Do you want to be able to watch live programming for these channels? It's an additional dollar a channel. If you want to be able to watch the following channels, it's an additional dollar a channel. And I could be able to pick and choose. And instead of Hulu costing me whatever it is, $8 a month or what have you,
yeah,
it costs me $24 a month because I get to pick and choose those items.
Yeah.
Cool.
So it's basically the old cable system. Except instead of the cable provider, it would be like the streaming provider doing the thing where they have like their base package and then you can add on the special channels that you want, like the
yeah. And what I also don't want is to be lumped into having to buy six channels at a time.
Yeah.
I don't give and hear me say this. I do not give two flying fucks about your contracted deal about having to fucking sit. I have no interest in watching the fucking Home Garden Network I don't want to see the Property Brothers. I don't want to hear about the third one. I don't need to hear that there's a fifth one that runs a burger joint. I don't need to know what the Wahlbergs are up to. Like, just let me pick up the one channel that, like, I want to be able to just basically have, like, Hulu Live with just Discovery and Discovery Science.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Like, just let me watch, like, all of the old fucking Mythbusters episodes, and then I want to go watch all the cool science shit, and I don't want to have to pay fucking 50, what is it now, 54 a month or something like that for Hulu Live? I'm like, fuck you with that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Jesus.
No, 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 no. Double fuck you, no.
I think, do you get Hulu with the Disney one? I'm not sure.
You get Hulu with the Disney one or whatever it is, but that doesn't let me go and watch. That's another reason that I've given up on wrestling, is the way that I was watching it is I gave up on Hulu Live because they upped the price, and I decided to start cutting back some of the unnecessary purchases. And in turn, I cut it all out, and I cut a $55 a month bill completely out of my world. But that means that I can't watch live wrestling anymore.
Yeah.
And I cannot bring myself to go and watch the other episodes. And, you know, at that point it was like, well, fuck it. Then why am I going to buy the network? So now it's way, way less than that. Now I'm saving $65 a month. Okay, well, cool. What else can fucking go?
Yeah, seriously.
So, but that's the thing.
That's like half a lens right there.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, okay, reasonably, I'm cutting out some services, and I don't really feel like I'm missing something.
Yeah.
So is the programming that just wasn't that good, or have you made the hurdle to watch the thing that you provide so costly that I'm just like, yeah, you know what? I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good.
Yeah.
This, you know what? This goes back to fucking SPX. Stop making it hard for me to fucking buy things.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. It's the same problem. My buying
habits are exactly the same. The second it becomes too much of a pain in the ass, I have a threshold where I go from, yeah, I'm really interested in this thing, to fuck it, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm good. Cool.
You're trying to give them money, and they're not letting you, and it's frustrating.
I'm done. I'm good. Thank you. Just.
Yeah. Make it easy. Yeah. Make it easy.
Make me spending what little money I have easy.
Give me the Tokusatsu channel. God damn it.
Give Jamie what he wants.
I don't want a whole lot. I want the Tokusatsu channel.
Cool. I'm good with this life.
Yeah.
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 Just, yeah. Stop making me buying things, because recently that's also what it is. Shit like that is why Amazon is so fucking popular. Because I can do it in my underpants at any time, and it can magically get here in 2 days, and I don't have to fucking think about it.
Yeah.
They took all of the effort out of it.
Yeah.
And I get fucking shitty response of like, if only there was a place to go to where there was a store. And yes, I get that. However, I have to fucking deal with all of the bullshit that goes along with that.
And you have to put on clothes, and that's terrible.
I'm not even worried about clothes. It's that I have to make some fucking half-hearted interaction with some mouth-breathing douchebag and hear them talk about all of the same bullshit. Like, I don't want it. You're talking to somebody who genuinely tries to go – when he goes to the grocery store, I try and go to a regular cashier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that they can keep a job, because I think that's fucking important. But much like a fucking Lyft driver, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah. All my interactions with Lyft is like, thank you. And then I give them five stars. If they talk to me, it goes down from there.
Genuinely. Like, if we could hire people – who are like mute to work cashiers, like I'd be great with that. Just like a sign that you walk up, just be like, hi, I'm like, all it just says is like a little like thing that pops up on the screen in front of you as like he's ringing up things. It's like, hi, I'm Steve. I don't have the ability to speak. Your total will be up in a second. If you have any questions, please hit this button.
Yeah.
And just, okay, cool. And then the thing pops up and it says how much it is. And then I stick my card in and I say yes. And I put in my PIN, or I hit credit. And then I basically, like, he turns, he waves, gives me a thumbs up, I wave back, I grab my bags, and I leave. And I don't have to have an interaction with this guy, more so than just the polite pleasantries of, this gentleman has provided a service for me, and I am happy that he has a job. Cool.
Yeah.
Good with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Just make it easy, guys.
Just make it easy on me.
Make it easy.
That's all I'm saying. I have no interest in hearing about whatever the fuck it is you want to talk about.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
Which is ironic because I'm on a podcast.
Yeah. Hooray.
Find another grocery store line, kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. Like, sometimes I'll go into our grocery store and the line for the self-check, there's a line for the self-check. And then you'll go down a couple of aisles deep and there's no one waiting in the checkout line. And I'll just like, hey, how's it going? So here's my stuff.
Right. Well, yeah, because people are so done having that unnecessary conversation.
Yeah.
That like they want to be able to do it themselves. Like I remember the old Patton Oswalt bit of like him hating it because he's like, finally, the grocery store has gotten my letters of my dream to be a cashier. And it's like, yeah, no, I get that. And that's not really what happens. We all know it. It's that I don't want to have this fucking – I don't want to spend the 8 minutes talking to Brenda with that fucking haircut. Like that weird like John and Kate plus eight haircut.
Oh my god!
Like, right. Tell me about how terrible whatever the fuck it is. I can't with you. Like, cannot.
Yeah.
I need just belligerent and capable teenagers who don't want to fucking talk to me either, or just dudes who literally cannot find a job somewhere else, who are in their 40s, who have no interest in fucking talking to me either. Like, I love going to Home Depot sometimes because you grab a guy in an aisle and he's wearing one of those aprons and he looks like he's just got this job because for some reason things didn't necessarily pan out exactly the way they were looking for, and they're incredibly knowledgeable.
Yeah.
But you go walk up to them and you're like, excuse me, and they give you this look and they go, what's up? And you're immediately – you're on the fucking hot seat. Like, yeah. So I need to find there's like – a thing that goes over, light switch plate or a plug cover? What are you looking for? For the switch, it's aisle 5. Do you need me to, you know what, just walk with me here. And then they immediately do the shopping for you. Like, you're standing next to them and they're going,
you're
going to
need one of these. You're going to need one of these.
Yeah, you're going to want one of the plastic ones. Don't play around with this sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, right. Yeah, like, hey, make sure you do that. And then, and you get that nugget of knowledge. Hey, yeah. Don't use an electric screwdriver. You're going to snap that plate. You do that thing by hand to go nice and slow. Okay?
Yeah.
And you immediately feel like a fucking war. Like, they sent you off on a quest. Like, it's dangerous out there. Take this. Yeah. And you're just like, I know how to fix the thing. Right? And you go fucking walking up, and the cashier's like, thanks, have a great day. You're like, fucking thank you, Tina. Let's go do this thing. And I go home, and I'm like, rock and roll. I'm going to fucking replace every cover. Did I need to replace every cover? No, I didn't. But he's ballparking it because 10 minutes ago, me and Steve, he's going, okay, so how many bedrooms is the place? Okay, and then what year was it born? And he's going, yeah, you're going to need probably at least, you're going to replace all these, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to need 25 of these. There's a contractor pack, which fucking makes you feel like a champion. You go walking in with your slub ass and you go walking up with a contractor pack of anything, dent in these things. You're just like, I don't know if I need 45 receptacles, but like, they'll sit in my basement, and when the time comes and I need another one, I'll go, aha!
And the checkout lady gives you that nod like,
yeah, like, now I see you replacing all these things.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you a question. In your flip-flops, are you a contractor? And I'll be like, no, I'm not, but thank you for asking.
Yes. Streaming services need to make you feel like you walked into a Home Depot.
That's all I want. Yeah. Just a reluctance to deal with me and giving me exactly what I'm looking for.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
I just bought the Toei channel. I feel like a champion.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Jamie, did you buy the contractor pack? You're damn right I did.
Yes, I did.
Everything. Everything.
I get Ultraman. I get Metal Hero. I get Kamen Rider, Super Sentai, the weird ones that no one knows about.
Fuck it. Offer both of them. Give me the individual Toei channel and then offer that contractor pack where they're like, hey, do you want to watch the rest of the Crunchyroll lineup? And you're like, yeah, I kind of do.
Yeah, I kind of do. Yeah, I do.
Trick me into that bitch. Give me two options. Make that first one unnecessarily expensive.
Yeah.
Incentivize me. Fucking fluff me up a little bit. Jesus Christ. A little foreplay. Just a little bit, Hulu. Just a little foreplay.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Who's like, you could have our regular service where we show you bullshit commercials that you've only seen like 40 times for like $8 a month.
Yeah.
Or we can give you that fucking dick for like $55 a month. What do you want?
Like, I don't know. I don't know.
And it's like, Jesus Christ, well, I wasn't looking to join into this like weird fire hose porn, but here we are. Yeah, and all of a sudden, yeah, it looks like a fucking scene from UHF, and Michael Richards is asking me if I want the fire hose, and just, it's a whole thing. Oh
my god, UHF.
Yeah, the last time Michael Richards was okay. Anyway.
Oh, man. Yay. You can punch one direction in comedy, but it's not the way he thought it was. Okay. And on that note,
yeah, awesome. I completely drug the room down. Anyway, yeah, kids, do yourself a favor this week. Go to Home Depot and go buy something.
Yeah,
just cause. Yeah. And then shoot a sternly worded letter to Hulu and tell them I want a fucking better option.
Yeah,
there has to be something other than like micro penis or Ron Jeremy. I need a middle ground. Yeah. I need a solid 6.5 is really what I need.
Yes,
like,
for sure.
It's enough dick to just get the job done, but not so much. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is a lot of dick. Like, that's really what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why does All Home right. Depot make me feel better than you, Hulu?
Right. They're going to be real fucking confused. You should probably tag them in this.
Yeah, it'll be so great.
Just when you put this out on Twitter, just be like, thanks, at Home Depot. They'll be like, the fuck is going on?
Yeah. All right, Brandon, where can people find you now that events have occurred and you're...
Now that events have occurred, I don't even care. So I got divorced, so I'm now back on like, hey, I'm back on my bullshit again. Yeah, I'm out and into the world, so you can find me hopefully at some point soon regularly posting on... the That Guy Chalmers Instagram account, and I don't think I'm gonna fire up my fucking Twitter account.
No,
anymore.
Don't.
but yeah. So I'm back enjoying my life again, which is really great. It feels like I'm in some sort of like yogurt commercial, and Jamie Lee Curtis has set me free. Like I'm gonna be waiting, and it's gonna be great
with your good gut bacteria.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Nice.
Yeah, I really do feel like I've put Activia to my social life, and I just feel great about it. You got divorced. Yeah, it's super good.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
That's amazing.
I probably shouldn't be this upbeat about it. It's probably pretty terrible, and somebody's probably like, oh, dude, don't do that.
Nah, man, you get your starter one out of the way. It's all good. I did.
Jesus Christ. Wow, I thought I was being insensitive, and then you just fucking come in. I forget every so often that I'm boxing with a pro.
Oh, yes.
And then,
yes, friend.
And then all of a sudden, you just put the speed on. It's like, oh, that's right. You're a dangerous motherfucker, and I totally forgot. Shit.
Yes.
Anyway,
I smile, but I'm vicious.
Yeah.
So you can actually see me this Saturday at 200 Park Avenue in Baltimore for the, what the hell is this called? Charm City Night Market. What the fuck is this? It's from 3 to 11. Okay. Yep.
We really, really got to work on proofreading. Like, I know we joke around about the fact that I usually don't come in with any prep, boy howdy, if you're going to be reading these things, we got to at least let you proofread these things and get those reactions out of the way.
Yeah, no, it's better this way. You do it live and people are like...
Do you want to try that again? No. It's going to be running from when, Jamie Noguchi?
3 to 11 p.m. at 200 Park Avenue, hosted by the Chinatown Collective. It's the Charm City Night Market. There's going to be 70 plus vendors, two stages. There's going to be a lantern walk. It's going to be family friendly. I bet there's going to be some dope ass food. So even if you can't come for the entire time, you should come hang out. You could see me. You could see Keith, the founder of the Nerds of Color Media Empire. We're going to be there hanging out. Yeah, it should be fun. I think they're trying to remind people that, hey, Baltimore has a Chinatown. So this is pretty cool because I've never been myself. So
I was going to say, thanks for making me feel better about one, not knowing, and two, never going.
Yeah, so I had no idea. So they're trying to do this whole big thing. I think this is only the second year. So if you've never heard of Baltimore's Chinatown, this is probably why. So
no, I like the idea. Eat a dick, Greek town. Baltimore's Chinatown's here. Yeah.
So you can see me this Saturday in various stages of consciousness. And then Twitter, Angry Zen Master, Facebook. I might friend you if I've met you in person. If I haven't met you in person, I'll usually look at and see if you're connected with any of the weird people that I know. And if you are, probably. Jamie Noguchi on Instagram. Yeah. All the usual places, all the usual faces.
Also, please feel free to check out some of the other podcasts on the Nerds of Color Network. Yeah. Big shout out to our friend Patrick Michael Strange, who I got a chance to hang out with at SPX, and his new release Wednesday podcast that I did a bit of a bumper for. And just some really, really awesome stuff on the network. So be sure to check all of that out and put it in your ear holes.
Yeah. And if this works out, we're gonna have some fun things going on this holiday season to coincide with Star Wars Episode 9 details as we hammer them out. But yes, we have plans.
Yeah,
we have plans.
Yeah, we're actually gonna try and do these like way in advance.
Yes.
So
yes,
will actually have an opportunity to be like, I was gonna go hang out with friends, but now I'm going to hang out with real friends, internet friends. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, leave the other motherfuckers at home. You coming to hang out with your boys?
Yeah, you see those assholes all the time. When do you get to hang out with us? Come on.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you already know their opinions about Star Wars. Fuck them. Yeah. You've heard them over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one guy, he was like, I don't really care for fit. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
In the eye
hole. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Just,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Come hang out with us.
Yeah. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. It's going to be badass.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's it. That's all we got.
Yeah. Go do the thing. And be excellent to each other this week, kids. Go do something kind for somebody else.
Party on.
Yeah. Party on, Jamie.
Be excellent to each other. Oh, shit. What was the... I don't know.
Just
fuck
hit
it.
The...
Yeah,
hit the...
it's done. All right, I hit it. I'm hitting it. I haven't hit it yet. It's going to be hit. All right, it's dead.